Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you for holding on. The show today, well, the broadcast, I don't like to call it a show because it's really not for entertainment. It has to be entertaining to a point or people wouldn't listen to us, but I'd like to thank you for holding on. It's kind of a holy week to me. It's Charlottesville. It's Charlottesville month, Charlottesville week. Charlottesville would be, I think, Wednesday. It was, oh, Lord, I'll tell you what I remember. That was August the 12th, 2017. I can't believe it's been 9 years ago. But I'd just like you people to think about that while we're doing this broadcast. We're going to do full bore Charlottesville probably next week, maybe out of Wetumpka, Alabama. We never know. I mean, with life the way it is, with the health, people's health, and I mean, we live virtually hour to hour. But the plans are we're going to do full scale Charlottesville next week. But it's really, I'd like to let people know. I don't think my grandson, and he's adult now, but Gene, I don't think people really know, even my own family, I don't think they realize just how huge that event was, that you and I were in the epicenter of it, along with Rich and Matt. I spoke to Matt today. It is so sad because he's being so overly burdened with responsibility, a lot, most of it, out of his own, not his own making, the tremendous tax burden put on him by the government, the people that hated him, the people that hated us, they're putting the tax burdens on people like Matt, or the ones that put the burden, tried to take us out of Charlottesville. But I just like the people to know, even though we don't do much on Charlottesville, keep that in your mind. Keep people in prayers, your prayers, pray for them that they're still being persecuted. I heard that they're still hunting people down that participated in the Tiki Light parade. But anyway, I just want to say that much. And Gene, whatever you want to do tonight, brother, I'm ready to rock and roll, brother.
To be able to speak out and speak up in defense of our Confederate history, that's the whole thing we were going there for. They wanted to take down Robert E. Lee's statue in Lee Park, and Lee, a Virginian, in Virginia, you know, I think we had a very legitimate reason to be there and speak up in defense of a great Southerner, a great American. And they don't want that, not in this country. It's the dictatorship of the left, basically. And they can talk about, make America great again and all this kind of stuff, but they haven't done anything as far as our Southern history or our monuments or anything like that. So anyway, it doesn't really matter who's president. They're not going to step up and help us out. They took down that reconciliation monument when Sleepy Joe Biden was in there, that monument that was in Arlington Cemetery, Confederate Circle. And they said they were going to, Haig said that the War Department was going to put it back. Well, of course, they haven't done it. And then so-called governor that we just got elected in the primary, probably win the general election, Marsha, she voted with the Rhino Republicans not to put it back. So that's what our good conservative people are doing to us. So anyway, that being said, that's, what we have to look forward to in the government that we have in these days. But we had a chance to have our own government and have a different take on everything, and that's kind of what I'd like to talk about today. We usually try to get an event that took place in the month that we have the radio broadcast, and last week we talked about the battle at Mobile Bay, since that was August 5th, 1864. Well, today, I think we're going to skip over that just for a little bit to go to an actual event during August, and there are a couple of more we'll do later on after the Charlottesville program next week. But what I would like to do is give our listeners and some information that they can use. When we are betrayed for saying anything positive about the Confederates, the South, or our Southern heroes. And they, you know, mainstream media and most of our communist indoctrination centers, which used to be colleges, they're not anymore, they put out just basically lies and propaganda. And I think, I'm afraid that some of our people get intimidated by that and they don't want to really speak up and say anything because they're not really sure. They know it's wrong, but they really don't know how to counter these people and put them in their place. And I enjoy doing that because you get in arguments with these liberals and everything they've got is this canned speech that they have that they've heard through all the propaganda outlets. And like Dr. Goebbels said, a lie told once is always a lie, but a lie told a thousand times becomes history. And that's what it is, historical propaganda that we have thrown against us. So I'd like to go through a few things and maybe give our listeners some ammunition to fire back at some of these people and give them a little courage to say, well, I know the facts and these clowns don't know anything. They're just running through the same old garbage that they throw out every time. So we'll start off, first of all, with the name of the war, which is incorrect. It was not a civil war. If you look up the definition for civil war in any dictionary of your choice, it's going to say it's a war fought between two factions within one country. Well, that's wrong right off the bat because the United States invaded the Confederate States of America. We had a legitimate country. We had a president, vice president, Congress, Constitution, which I think was a lot better than the one we have today, not necessarily because Southerners wrote it, but because they had 80 years to look at the old one and say, well, that looked good on paper, but it didn't work out. And they were printing money, had postage service, they sent ambassadors to Europe. They tried sending ambassadors to the United States to negotiate the removal of federal troops from Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor and in Fort Pickens in Pensacola Harbor without getting into a war. And Lincoln wouldn't talk to him. He said the Confederate States of America wasn't a real country, that once you're in the United States, you can never leave. And that was his philosophy on it. So that was the attitude of the United States. And all he wanted to do was control the entire country. Second part of that definition is of a civil war, it's for control of the government of the country. Well, that's wrong. The South never, and the Confederacy never wanted to take over the government of the United States. We felt like you elected Lincoln, you got him. You're stuck with him, and you keep him. We just want to leave, and that's all we wanted to do. So you come back and say, well, you know, in the Declaration it says, governments derive their just powers from the consent of the government. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government. Well, that's what they said in the Declaration, so we took them at their word and said the government is not ruling by the consent of the people, so we're leaving. We're out of here. But then, of course, Lincoln said, you can't do that. That's one thing that's incorrect about calling it a civil war. Now, there were civil wars in history. The English Civil War back in the 1600s, the Cavaliers and the Roundheads, and then the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s against the fascists and the communists. So those were fought within those countries, and the winner got to be the head of the country, head of England and head of Franco, head of Spain, after the Spanish Civil War in the 1930s. So those were legitimate civil wars. Ours was not. It was a war of independence. Or if you want to take it from how the North looked at it, it was a war to crush Southern independence. In fact, the official records called it the War of the Rebellion. But that's not right either. We weren't rebelling to overthrow the government. We're just trying to leave, and they wouldn't let us do that. They said, you can't do that. And my question back to them always has been, okay, there were 35 states, and 13 states voted to leave the Union. They passed the Ordinance of Secession. Even Missouri and Kentucky, although they had their state governments were run out of the state early on in the war, they had a government in exile, but they still voted to leave. So he had 13 states that voted to leave. That meant 22 states were still in the United States. And are you telling me that those 22 states couldn't operate a country without the southern states in there? And basically the answer is yes, because the South was paying the tab for the U.S. government because of tariffs that were placed on imported goods. The South was an agricultural region, and we were selling cash crops like cotton, mainly cotton, tobacco and sugar cane to Europe, and primarily British, and then we were buying our manufactured goods from them and paying tariffs on them. So they couldn't let the South leave because there went the money right there. So we'll go over a few more of these after we get back from a break.
I'll have a short question or two. I'm hoping it won't interrupt you when you come back.
No. Fire away. Fire away.
We'll do that.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Here, Blood River Radio family. Without further ado, we're going to go back to the Bitter Ender. He's going to answer some questions I asked during the break. But go ahead, Bitter Ender.
Okay, we were talking during the break, and Eddie was talking about the governments in Kentucky and Missouri. And they had a pro-Confederate government, which was their governor and their state legislators that were elected before the war. And they were chased out of the federal army that was coming in there knew they were very pro-Southern. And the Confederates, just at that early part of the war, they didn't have enough troops in Kentucky or in Missouri to defend the capital at Frankfort or the capital at Jefferson City out in Missouri. And so their government was really a government in exile, that they had to leave and follow wherever the Confederate army was in Kentucky, and then later retreated into Tennessee and eventually down to Georgia. And then with Sterling Price and some of the other Confederate generals in northern Arkansas, they had to flee the capital, Jefferson City, and get out of Missouri where they couldn't be arrested. And Lincoln, you know, they talk about this democracy and all this garbage we're fed every day about one man, one vote, and all this nonsense like that. Not if you live in a dictatorship. That Lincoln would not even let the state legislature in Maryland even meet to talk about whether they were going to vote to secede or not. They weren't meeting to vote yes or no on secession. They were just talking about it and see if they ought to call it a secession convention or conference. And so Lincoln sent the army in there and chased them out of the state. They couldn't even talk about it. And then he clamped down a military dictatorship on the state of Maryland, and they used Fort McHenry in Baltimore Harbor as a political prison. And anybody in Maryland that spoke out in favor of the South, or that Maryland ought to leave the Union and join the Southern states, they were arrested and thrown in prison at Fort McHenry. And one of the people that was imprisoned there, and they probably taken it away back in their file or archives, but they used to have a letter there that was written that said, how ironic that I am being held here as a prisoner, as a political prisoner, because of my Southern beliefs, while my grandfather wrote their Star Spangled Banner on a British warship just down the harbor there. So it was Francis Scott Key's grandson that was thrown in jail in Fort McHenry, and of course back during the War of 1812, his grandfather had written the Star Spangled Banner while he was a prisoner on the British warship bombarding Fort McHenry. So that's how much disregard they had for people in Maryland and Kentucky and Missouri and these border states. And even Delaware was discussing secession, and they weren't going to secede unless Maryland and Virginia did, because they didn't want to secede and have one state sitting off there by themselves and then blocked off from the other southern states by Pennsylvania and Maryland and D.C. So, yeah, there were people that wanted more than just the 13 states that voted to get out. There were other states that wanted to get out of the Union, too, but they weren't allowed to do that. So
I'm glad you clarified that point. I was in the dark about that for years, Gene, but I'm glad you did. You did a great job.
Lincoln wouldn't, like I said, he chased the legislators out of Maryland, so they couldn't even meet and discuss whether they ought to put up organize a secession convention. Wouldn't even let them talk about it. So much for democracy and the will of the people, and that thing we talked about, that governments derive their just powers from the consent of the government and governed. Now, that doesn't happen. It didn't happen in this country, that's for sure. The other thing that we always get beat over the head was, oh, the war was about slavery. Oh, no, no. It was never totally about slavery. That was an issue. But that's what they give because it's a clean, safe version for children's history books. And it's very simple then. If you're, you know, fifth or sixth grade, you can tell them that, and they'll believe pretty much anything. But like most wars, it's a lot more complicated than just one issue. In fact, this one was no different from the wars that had been fought back in ancient times, the Greeks and the Carthaginians, or the Romans and Carthaginians, the Greeks and the Trojans, or anything like that. It was all about power and money. And if you got money, you get power, and if you have power, then you can get more money. And the same thing was going on here, that we mentioned this earlier. The North could not allow the Southern states to leave because of the tariffs that they were paying to the U.S. government from the manufactured goods that they were bringing into the South. And we're an agricultural region, and we were shipping our agricultural products, mainly cotton, out to European countries, especially England, and then buying manufactured goods from them, which are actually cheaper than what was being made in the Northeast, in New York and Boston and Philadelphia and these Northeastern states, and it was a much better quality. But that was hurting the Northern businesses, and they put the pressure on the federal government to keep increasing the tariffs on imported goods so that would help them sell their products here in the United States. And they had more people in Congress that could go along with that and keep raising the tariffs. So the South, the federal budget in 1860 was about $102 million. I've heard $102, $104, somewhere around in there. It's over $100 million. And we laugh at that today. They blow that off in lunchtime in Washington, D.C. today. Oh, but yeah, that was a lot of money back then. But out of that, say $102 million, the South paid $82 million in tariffs, and we got very little in return. They used the money that was made off the southern tariffs for railroads, canals, and national roads in the north, while we got very little of that coming to the south. They called it internal improvements back then. We call it pork barrel politics today. So that was one reason why they couldn't let the South stay out. And slavery wasn't the issue. In fact, Lincoln said that the Southern states could stay out, they could keep their slaves if they would just pay their taxes to the United States. And we're going, now, wait a minute. We have to pay taxes to a foreign country? I don't think that's going to work. And that's why he sent the fleet to Charleston to take over the harbor there and put federal troops in Fort Sumter to make sure that any ship coming into Charleston was going to have to pay a tax or a tariff to the United States government. And they said, well, the Southerners were terrible because they opened fire on Fort Sumter and they were going to attack this fleet coming in there. Well, I'd like to ask these people that are always throwing that in our face, if Iran or Russia or Communist China put a missile battery at the Verrazano Narrows in coming into New York, and ships could come into New York, the port city of New York, and trade with New York or the United States, but they would have to stop and pay a tax or a tariff to Communist China or North Korea or Iran or whoever before they could enter the United States. How long do you think the U.S. would allow that to happen? But when the Southerners tried to get that out of their harbor, we were the evil people that started the war. Another thing about slavery, the North tried to keep the Southern states in the Union by passing an amendment to the Constitution that would have protected slavery in the U.S. Constitution. It was called the Corinne Amendment. It was presented by Representative John Corwin, C-O-R-W-I-N, from Ohio, and it would have been protected by the U.S. Constitution. It would have been the 13th Amendment. And they're saying, oh, no, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery. Well, that's the second 13th Amendment. This was the first 13th Amendment. And it passed in the U.S. Congress. In fact, the proposed amendment, officially designated as Joint Resolution Number 80, was swiftly sent to the House, receiving approval by a vote of 133-65 on February 28, 1861. On March the 4th, 1861, the Senate passed the joint resolution with a vote of 24-12. So it secured a supermajority to amend the Constitution, and then it was forwarded to state legislators for ratification, and there were several states in the North that voted to pass this. So slavery would have been protected in the United States Constitution. It did receive backing from five states, Kentucky, Ohio, Rhode Island, Maryland, and Illinois, Lincoln State, Illinois. These ratifications were signed off on, and of course, before the war, and what they had passed, Maryland in 2014 and Illinois in 2022. So that was still on the books for over 100 years that slavery was protected in Illinois and Missouri by the vote of their state legislature. So anyway, that's another big lie that they always trying to hang on to us. And what they don't tell you about was that the South, before the war, well, way back it up even more, before the 13th Amendment was passed in 1865, before the first shot was fired in the war, and before Lincoln was even elected, the South said, okay, you want to abolish slavery, and you're sending these crazy people down here like John Brown and his crew to have us murdered and have a slave uprising like they had on Haiti. If you want to get rid of slavery, we'll go with that. Said, but do what the British did. Pay the slave owners for the investment they had in slaves, because they were expensive. And not only were they expensive to buy or get, but they were expensive to keep them up.
They still are.
You have to remember, we'll go into this a little bit more after the break, but there was a lot of reasons why they would be glad to get rid of slavery, and it never came to pass because the North didn't want to pay for it.
They cost more now than they did then, Gene, in crime and rape and whatever.
Yeah. Got to build prisons and hire more guards and security.
That's right. Well, I guess it seemed like the economy, huh? Be right back, folks.
How How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose.
On this vote, the yeas are 50, the nays are 49. The nomination is confirmed.
And with that, Senator Ashley Moody of Florida announcing the U.S. Senate has confirmed Todd Blanche as the next U.S. Attorney General. Florida Senator Republican Rick Scott tells the Salem Radio Network, mainstream Democrats he knows on Capitol Hill have lost their way and are intimidated by the socialist wing of the party.
They're scared of Mondami and AOC. They vote like Mondami and AOC would vote. And so they've lost their party. They can't stand up for themselves. And so even if they're not radical, they're voting radical because they're scared to death. I mean, Mondami and AOC run the Democrat Party now.
Vice President J.D. Vance telling the Hugh Hewitt Show on the Salem Radio Network his brand new book, Communion, focuses on his personal faith journey and how it is okay to question your faith.
God works through imperfect people. And so the argument is not that the church is perfect. The argument is not that the church always succeeds in its effort to help people and to serve people. The argument, though, is that this institution, in its very imperfect way, does reveal something about Jesus Christ and his love for people. And you have to be able to accept the good and the bad in the same way that you have to be able to read the Bible and say, well, King David was this terrible guy, and yet he was the chosen person to kind of implement God's kingdom at that time in history.
The U.S. labor market weakened unexpectedly in July with employers cutting 23,000 jobs. The Labor Department also revised May and June payrolls down by a combined 103,000 jobs, and the unemployment rate edged down to a 4.1%. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Larry Elder here. When it comes to supplements, two things matter most. Does it work? And can you trust it? Rather than just tell you about Relief Factor, we'll let our customers do it. We hear from people every single day whose lives have changed, and we'd like you to hear a few of their stories. Chris has spent years doing physical work, leaving his feet sore at the end of the day. After starting Relief Factor, he felt so good he did something he'd never done before. He ran a half marathon. Now he tells all his friends about Relief Factor. I've got back issues. I've been taking Relief Factor every single morning for years. Without it, the back problems come back. They make it easy to find if you'll be the next person telling us Relief Factor gave you your life back. 3 weeks for just $17.76. Simply go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF. You'll connect with our friendly local team and they'll do everything they can to help. We hope you'll be soon sharing your story with us too. ReliefFactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Dear Blood River Radio people, I hope I don't interrupt Gene. You know, I'm an emotional guy, and me and Gene were talking about during the break. You know, I grew up, I'm an old guy, but I grew up in Memphis when Memphis was a southern city. Me and Gene were talking about General Nathan Bedford Forest Park. We call it Forest Park here in Memphis. It was one of the most beautiful, probably one of the most, there's probably never been a more beautiful equestrian statue than the one in Nathan Bedford Forest Park where he was buried there, along with his son. He had a grandson who flew bombers World War II. I think his wife was buried there. And a short, not too far to the west of there, up above on the bluff, we had Confederate Park. It had beautiful park. Gene's been there. He knows what I'm talking about. It had artillery pieces, probably from First World War there. And immediately westward, about 100 meters from that park, there was another park called Jefferson Davis Park. Memphis was a Confederate city through and through. I'm going to tell you what, people, I've never had a more heart-wrenching, disturbing experience in the night. Those sons of bitches just took heavy equipment and took General Nathan Bedford's forest, got his grave up, exhumed his grave. I hope the people that did that, I hope they burn in hell. I really do. I maybe shouldn't say that, but I hate those sons of bitches. I hope I didn't throw you off the bat.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm always glad to get some local history thrown in with what all we're talking about, which basically backs up what we're saying, that, you know, how this has all been turned against the South, and the results of a Yankee victory in this war gave the central government a perpetual enemy that they could blame all of their failures on just one section of the country and one region, the South. So anything that's wrong with this country is always the fault of the South and slavery, and, you know, we caused the, you know, I guess they're going to say we caused the stock market crash in 1929 and all this other garbage that they can throw at us. So that was one result of the war, and a strong centralized government. We got central banking, which later became the Federal Reserve. We got the income tax out of it. And the war since then, our armies have been filled with draftees. And we got an imperial presidency that operates pretty much as a dictator. You know, Congress is supposed to oversee the government and has specific powers laid out in the Constitution, but they never step up and do what they're supposed to do. The president just kind of dictates what he wants. And if he's got a majority in the House and in the Senate, he goes pretty much whatever he wants, however way he wants it to go. One other thing I'd like to cover that they throw out at us and attempt to destroy our history and our heroes. I've heard people on television, even so-called news commentators and so-called historians. This woman, something has a hyphenated name, Gibson, I don't know, whatever it is. But she said that Robert E. Lee was a traitor, because he was commissioned as an officer in the United States Army, which he was, rose up through the ranks. He was had the rank of colonel when Virginia seceded, and he was offered the command. Winfield Scott was in command of all the U.S. armies at that time, and Winfield Scott offered him command of all of the U.S. armies, not just one, but every U.S. soldier from Maine to California. Because he had that much respect for Lee and knew his ability of what he had done, leading the American troops in the war against Mexico. And as an engineer, he was finding routes through all of these mountain passes so the American Army could make it through there and get to Mexico City. And of course, he turned them down, and they went ballistic over that, that he would turn down an offer to for the highest rank that they had in the U.S. Army at that time. And that's why they put Arlington Cemetery where it is today. And there's a Yankee General Meigs that said he was in charge of turning that land there that had belonged to the Lee family. Well, his father-in-law, Custis, Mr. Custis, it was his home, and then after he died, Lee inherited the home there, the Custis Lee Mansion, on that hill overlooking Washington, D.C. today. But Meigs said he wanted graves put as close to that house as possible so nobody would ever want to live there again. And that's why Arlington Cemetery is there. It's an in-your-face to Robert E. Lee that they're going to put graves all over it for Yankee soldiers, and then now, of course, it's soldiers that died in Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. But that was the original intent of Arlington. It was just an in-your-face to Lee for turning them down to be commander of the U.S. troops. But he was not a traitor, and that's what they don't know. First of all, he was not a citizen of the United States. When Virginia seceded, he lived in Virginia, and he was then a citizen of Virginia. And he sent in his letter of resignation to the U.S. government. And what this, oh, Doris Kearns Goodwin. I couldn't think of that woman's name, but she thinks she's a great historian, but she doesn't know anything about military protocol. If you're an officer and you get commissioned as a second lieutenant, you have a certain amount of time that you have to serve. And I think it's 4 years if you graduate from the military academy at West Point or Annapolis. In the Marine Corps, it was 3 years. And so once I had gotten through with my basic 3 years, I had a choice. I could stay in for another 17 and at 20 years draw full retirement. Or if something happened about, oh, I'd done the 3 years and 6 months down the road, or a year or two or whatever, I decided I'd rather flip burgers at McDonald's than be in the U.S. military. So all I would have to do is turn in my letter of resignation. So that was it. I had no more commitment to the United States government after that as a military person or as an officer. And that's exactly what Lee did. Now, if he had stayed in the U.S. Army and then spent his time as a U.S. Army officer burning bridges or cutting telegraph lines or blowing up Yankee ammunition depots or something, yeah, that would have been a traitor right there to be in the U.S. Army and then doing all this stuff to help the Confederacy, but he wasn't in the U.S. Army. He resigned. He was a citizen of Virginia, later the Confederate States of America, so he wasn't a citizen of the United States. So how could he be a traitor if he wasn't even part of that country? But they don't care about that. That's, you know, the way they want to portray everything in the South. Like we said, the South is the evil enemy for the centralized government, the federal dictatorship, and they can blame everything that happens on the South. Now, another thing we wanted to bring up, a lot of times we get criticized for our Confederate, as we said right at the first of the program, we get criticized for being Southerners, for being proud of our region of the country, for being proud of our Confederate heroes. And a lot of times these people come up with this idiotic nonsense to intimidate us, and especially the blacks. They think if they throw something at Whitey, Whitey is just going to shrivel up like a slug that had salt dumped on it and shrivel up and die right there on the sidewalk. And they then when you answer them back, oh, it just really throws them off. And I want to give you two or three things that came up here that y'all may enjoy hearing this. I know I used to work with my brother with that sports medicine program, and we'd go out to California for the race at Long Beach or up at Laguna Seca, or the Roger Penske Speedway at Fontana. And I can't remember where I was, but I know I checked into the motel and was going down to the lobby for something, and there was a lady coming into the lobby. So being a Southern gentleman, I stepped back and opened the door, held the door open for her. Well, this upset her to no end that somebody would be courteous. I guess California, they expected to have the door slammed in your face and me jump in front of her. But I had on a T-shirt that had a great big Confederate flag on the front of it. And she turned up her nose and growled and looked at me and said, "I don't see how you can wear that." And I answered very politely, well, it's not that hard. Your head goes through the big hole and your arms go through the two little holes. She didn't really think that was too funny. I thought it was a pretty good comeback.
I think so.
And then during COVID, I had a mask that was basically a Confederate flag. And one day I was in the Kroger grocery store close to where we live, and it picked up whatever I needed and was headed out the door, going back to the parking lot. And there was a small place off to the side of the lobby there for Starbucks. And this black woman waddled over to me at the door and said, "What's that?" And I said, "It's a mask. We're supposed to wear a mask for COVID." "No, no, that flag. What's that?" And I said, "What's the Confederate flag? We're Southerners. That's, you know, our flag and our country." And so she said, "You can't wear that. You lost." And I said, "No, we all lost. When the Dutch dumped off the first boatload of you people at Jamestown in the Virginia colony, we've been losing ever since." And she said, "Well, you can't say that. I'm going to tell the manager." I said, "Well, good. You go tell him. Because I was minding my business, and you came all the way over here from the little Starbucks thing inside of Kroger and started giving me a hard time." Well, I never heard any more from her or heard any more from Kroger. We'll catch a couple more of those after our break.
You got him, Gene. You got him, man.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR's hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
I gave you power, huh? Let me tell you something, boy. If I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. With time is money. We got to rock and roll. I got to hit two items. Gene talked about this is something I didn't tell you, Gene, but I'll make this quick. Gene talked about when he was a lieutenant in the military, and you can after you serve your 3 years, you can resign. Well, once upon a time, I left a bunch of airheads at St. Francis Hospital. It's been years ago. Taught me into joining the National Guard. Well, I was in the National Guard for a short time, and I had already had one honorable discharge. I was honorably separated. And I was at a really good unit up here in, not Lexington, Tennessee, Henderson, Tennessee, a really good unit. Good old boys, deer hunters, fishers, whatever, just redneck Tennessee guys. But it was so far away, I transferred, Gene. I probably never told you this. I transferred to a little medical unit. It's a medical unit. Located on a Navy base here in Millington, Tennessee. And that was the most Mickey Mouse piece of shit outfit you've ever seen in your life. As I said, I told him, I'm getting out of here. I'm not coming back. Oh, you can't do that. I said, you watch me. I wrote a letter. I think it was the 4th Army headquarters of St. Louis. I just wrote a letter and said, hey, man, this is a piece of shit outfit. You know, they don't know what's into the damn barrel the round comes out of. I hate the damn thing. I want out. 10 days later, I got a honorable discharge from the National Guard, and I had to tell those son of the bitches out there. I thought you told me I couldn't get out. I told them to show it to the XO and the first sergeant, and told them to kiss my ass. I told you I wasn't coming back, but I'm getting going a little bit sideways there. But yeah, me and Gene were talking about to this very day. To this day, year, what is it, 165 years? I'll have to count it up. It's been a long time since the war, since they destroyed the South. And to this very day, that many years later, there's still a stigma, a horrible stigma put on the South. We didn't earn it, but it's a stigma that the Yankees, the Northerners, put on us from being from the South. And to give you a quick example, Gene's got another one too. I'll make this quick. There's a teacher. My grandson went to one of these Christian schools. And the reason I tell him, this ain't a Christian school. You're sending your kids here just to get them away from those feral black animals in the city schools. Don't give me that Christian crap. I know why you're here. But one of the instructors there, was a young kid, probably 23, 24 years old. And she was telling me, even to this day, that many years separated from that war, this kid was from Illinois, she was telling me about how, we won. I don't know why you keep talking about the South and how wonderful it was, because we won. And I said, no, sweetie. And she was a lovely little kid. She taught my grandson. I looked at her as a kid. I said, we both lost. We all lost. If you're white and you live in the United States of America, you lost. We all lost. And we're all being punished for it for this day. And I could have gone on to the crime rate, the high welfare rate, the high tax rate, on and on and on, but I didn't. But anyway, Gene, you're right. We carry that stigma like a cross, like we really do. But that was my little experience here, Gene.
Well, you're right. And it is until a war comes along. And then they want Southern boys to go fight the war for them. And it's a proven fact that you have a much higher percentage, not total numbers, but a much higher percentage of boys from Southern states that volunteer and go to fight in World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, than come from the Northern states. And like I said, it's not total numbers, but there's a higher percentage of boys from Mississippi or Georgia or Tennessee out of the state population volunteer to serve during conflicts that the federal government drags us into and lies us into than come from the populations of the northern states. So, you know, they want us to go out and lay our life on the line for them, but then we're always the villains. But the thing is, they have to have a villain in this country. It's kind of like professional wrestling. You got to have a villain to make the heroes look good. So they use the South as the villain to they think make them look very patriotic and wave the flag and blow up a bunch of fireworks on 4th of July and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, well, one of the other incidents that I had during this COVID experience with my Confederate flag mask on, I was going in a Walgreens to get some pictures made, and a black guy was coming out. And I just nodded to him. You know, we're two people passing. And he starts off saying, "You can't wear that. That's a loser's flag." And I said, "Well, oh, thank you." And he goes, "Oh, you agree?" And I said, "No, not quite." I said, "Thank you for showing us why we had segregation laws and why we probably need them again." He didn't like that at all. And then I've had people say, "Well, if you hate the U.S. government so much, why don't you leave?" And I tell them, well, you really weren't paying much attention in history class, were you? You back there in that back row reading some kind of pornographic magazine. You should have been listening to the history class, because we tried for 4 years to leave. We killed over 380,000 of you obnoxious Yankees and maimed and crippled another 500,000 to 600,000, put a gun to the head of that lying dictator Osama bin Lincoln and blew his brains out all over his crazy old lady, and she was crazy because he infected her with syphilis. I said, "What else do we need to do to tell you we don't want to be here? We didn't want to be in your country in 1861. A lot of us don't want to be in your country in 2026.
Got that right.
But you won't let us leave." Remember this, the 13 states voted to leave the United States. And we're in the United States today because we're here at the point of a gun. Now, what kind of a great country is that? And that's one reason I hadn't done much on this 250th birthday thing. If we're not allowed to celebrate our independence, why do I want to celebrate that? the constitutional republic that we had in 1861 has been destroyed. It's only gotten worse. We don't fly the Yankee flag at our house. We fly an Army of Tennessee battle flag.
You got that right.
So anyway, that's what I'm not real excited about, a lot of this stuff that they have out there. So that was one of the other answers that I had for somebody that attacked the South. And I've been on two or three of the TV stations here in Nashville for a debate on Confederate issues, but I never get invited back because I go there and I just destroy whoever the black other guest is. They always have a black there, and I guess they think we're going to have a fight, knock down, drag out fight. It's going to be like Jerry Springer or something. I'm not going to run over and hit him, grab a chair out of the audience and hit him over the head with it. Like to sometimes, but I don't do that. But you know, you just destroy them with facts, and they have no comeback on that. So I never get asked back. I don't fill the role of the Southern redneck, you know, ignorant knuckle dragging person that can't do anything. One other thing I'd like to put in here, we've got a few minutes left in this segment, is how these conservatives, and I put conservatives in quotation marks, know nothing about history. And they talk about how great they are, how much they support America, and it's the greatest country ever, and we're so lucky to be here. But then when they stumble across the War for Independence or our Southern Independence movement, they just fall right through their face. For instance, Rush Limbaugh, before he died, he was the biggest Lincoln lover that ever came down the road, and he was always talking about how the federal government was too big, it was too intrusive, it was overbearing, it was basically a dictatorship. And then he turns right around, and in the same breath, he praises Lincoln for saving the Union. No, he didn't save it. He destroyed it. Tucker Carlson, he stood up for Lincoln and the federal government, or the Lincoln government. And I give him a pass on that. He was raised in California, and he learned his history in California, so he didn't know much about it. And then we used to have a conservative talk show host here named Phil Valentine. He passed away a few years ago. But I called into their program one time, and he was off on a rant about the South and the Confederacy and how terrible it was. He came up with this brilliant statement, said, well, if the South had won its independence, we couldn't have defeated the Nazis in World War II. And I said, well, maybe the North couldn't have, but I think the South would have done all right, because let's remember, the South had the first ironclad ship, warship, the CSS Virginia. The South was the Confederacy was the first country to use a hot air balloon for military observation, and they had it attached to a barge on the James River and could tow it up and down the river wherever they needed it. So I guess you could say they had the first aircraft carrier. They had the first submarine, the Hunley, the first submarine to sink an enemy warship. They were the first ones to use electrically detonated mines to sink enemy ships. And, you know, maybe if we didn't have this imperial empire running our country, we wouldn't have gotten into World War II. The thing would have been, maybe we wouldn't have gotten into World War I, and World War I and the Treaty of Versailles was what caused World War II to come along, because Germany wanted their territory back that they had taken away from them after World War I by the Treaty of Versailles. So anyway, there are a lot of things that we can do and say to put these people back on their heels when they get up in their bully pulpit and start preaching at us about how we're so terrible and so wrong and everything. Main thing, folks, just know your facts. Know your facts about how the South wanted to get rid of slavery, and they asked the federal government to just do what the British did, pay the slave owners for their investment in slaves, because slaves were expensive. And you had to have collateral when you went to the bank to borrow against next year's crop as an agricultural reason. Well, what do you have for collateral? Well, I've got a farm. Well, I don't want that. That's why I work in a bank. Well, I got a house. Well, I'm a banker. I got a bigger house. Well, we've got slaves. Well, if you can't pay your note off on next year's crop, you can sell off some of the slaves. But they were asked to give up this investment for nothing. So anyway, hope our listeners will have some ammunition to fire back at the South haters. And main thing is know your history. They can't argue with that. Well, Eddie, thank you for the time. Appreciate being here.
Thank you so much. I don't think there's many people who could have any hope of holding the facts you have, Eddie. But if they could just get if we could just get a fraction of them, we can hold our own. I guarantee you.
Well,
thank you so much.
thank you so much, Gene. Thank you so much, Susie. Yes, and thank you, Blood Group Radio family, so much for tuning in and keeping us on. And same time, same place next week. We'll maybe coming from Wetumpka, Alabama. That's not 100%, but it's a pretty strong possibility. Good night, everybody.